This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app. Listen on the go anytime. You can join us at 656-9900. What will happen? What do you think should happen with college football? As last week, while we knew there were questions about whether things would for sure start on time, whether a full season would be played, last week there was a lot of anticipation about a season at least starting because they were announcing schedules. The Big Ten announced on Wednesday. The ACC announced its schedule on Thursday. The SEC announced its updated list of opponents on Friday with a full schedule to be announced. But then Saturday and Sunday, you had a lot of talk about, you know, the Big Ten's actually thinking about canceling. And this morning, there was a report from the Detroit Free Press that they've decided to do that. Dan Patrick reported that the Big Ten has decided to shut down for this fall. And in fact, just to kind of catch things back up, Sam, if we can we hear what Dan Patrick had to say earlier today? Because it had to do with the Big Ten as well as the other power conference as well. This is Dan Patrick on his show this morning.
The Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 are on the fence. The SEC is trying to get a delay to have teams join them. The SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts. So once again, then I followed up with my source and I said, so the Big Ten and Pac-12 canceled tomorrow. That's what I'm told this morning. Three Big Ten teams that I've spoken with said it's done. And I followed up by saying, so the SEC might go alone and bring in other schools. That's the latest. They're trying to buy time, according to my source, to see if the ACC or Big 12 will go along with them.
That was Dan Patrick earlier today. 38 minutes ago, Graham Couch, college football writer, added this. The Big Ten's presidents are scheduled to meet again on a call at 6 o'clock Eastern time tonight when they will make the final decision on the football season, per a source. I guess I would say it's never done until it's done, and technically it's not done. So you have seen today players, coaches, I would say most notably in that conversation, Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, advocating for them to still be able to play this fall. Michigan's official football account on Twitter was sharing what Jim Harbaugh was putting out with his statement and his letter to try to save football for the fall. Will it matter? I don't know. We'll probably find out here in a few hours, but what you just heard there is probably not going to excite you. It also would back up that the SEC still wants to play and still will attempt to move forward. We'll find out what the end result is, but that's kind of the latest here over the last few hours with the Big Ten and with college football. What do you think with all of this, Joel?
Goodness, that's a loaded question, but I think you're about to find out if the Big Ten elects to pull the plug today or tomorrow. You might see that domino effect where the Pac-12 follows suit, and I think it's very possible that the Big 12 is as difficult as one, you know, high-ranking official has said already, as difficult it would be to pull off. It sounds like the ACC and the SEC are going to try to make something happen. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated saying the Pac-12 and the Big 12 presidents are supposed to meet tomorrow. The Big 10 presidents meet tonight. The ACC has reportedly scheduled a meeting for Wednesday, and the SEC presidents are meeting now, or we're meeting earlier this afternoon, without a vote necessarily being expected. So you have all the Power Five conference commissioners meeting either right now or within the next 48 hours. And I mean, a lot of major decisions could potentially be made, even though we're weeks away from the start of the college football season. I think that one of the more feasible routes to make this happen would be for the college football powers and college athletics powers finally be willing to forfeit the amateur status for the sake of being able to have a season. And obviously that's not going to go quietly, and that's not something that can just happen in a span of 3 or 4 weeks. But if you really want a college football season, you really want it to happen, the bubble's going to be the most effective way to do it. You want to quarantine a bunch of college kids to mandate them being able to do it. Because if you just say, hey, you're still amateur athletes, but we're going to make you all stay in the same residence hall, you're really going to trust 85 college kids at each school to all be responsible and to all hold up their end of the bargain? You'll have a lot of kids that will, but that fourth string, you know, offensive lineman that isn't expecting to play, you know, are you really expecting him to be focused and staying in his room all night and not want to go out or see other friends on campus, or guys not wanting to see their girlfriends or families? It's there's just so much at stake with that, that you're really asking a lot of people that haven't typically been given that sort of responsibility before. So to call them amateur athletes and expect them to be able to hold up that end of the bargain, I think you're just asking a lot from college football players at that point.
Last night, as players got together, they had a call, they discussed what they want to do in the different power conferences. There was a post that they put out under the logos of the Power 5 conferences, ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, and the SEC, with the players showing their platform and stating this: we all want to play football this season, we want to establish universal mandated health and safety procedures and protocols to protect college athletes against COVID-19 among all conferences throughout the NCAA, give players the opportunity to opt out and respect their decision, guarantee eligibility whether a player chooses to play this season or not, use our voices to establish open communication and trust between players and officials, ultimately creating a college football players association. And that last part, I'm sure, is going to scare a lot of people. One thing that's interesting in this conversation is I think you have a lot of people that are saying let the players play, but also don't let them create either an association or something that would resemble a union. I think you have people that would I know you have some people, I don't know how many, that would think both of those things. And that complicates, I guess everything's complicated at this point, but that kind of complicates part of the conversation as well.
Yeah, there's so many factors that go into it on both, both sides of the argument is what do you do? And again, we've said before, we don't envy the decision makers at all. But now you've got players wanting to start a movement, coaches are joining in. So I think a big question is how much of an influence, if I don't know about influence, but how much are administrators going to listen, are going to hear that the players are willing to take the risk? And if any of them can get through, if there's any voices that can get through, because now the players are trying to establish a formal players association, that's not going to happen overnight. But is that the start of something? The long-term effects of what happens this week, not even just for this upcoming season, but for college football as a whole moving forward, are going to be very interesting to find out over the next couple of years.
I also do wonder what is going to be the political influence. We saw the president here in the last hour share the tweet by one of the tweets by Trevor Lawrence last night. So Donald Trump being involved is not the last politician that's going to be involved. He's the biggest. He's the president. But he's not the only one that's going to be involved here. We're going to see that. Certainly, I think I saw Marco Rubio earlier today. We're going to see politicians with direct ties to states as well, where college football is big. Where some have, I'm sure I've missed some
Burchett,
on Twitter.
Locally,
it's not like I'm following everybody.
Yeah, locally, Tim Burchett is already.
They're going to be popping up very quickly.
Yeah. So he's already given his two cents and said, yeah, we want to play. So he's tweeted.
I missed the name. Who did you say there?
Tim Burchett.
Oh, Tim Burchett. Okay.
Yeah, locally. So it's already happening in more with more local politicians as well. So both on a national and a local level, you are seeing people in that type of power in those sort of seats, you know, stand up and say, hey, let's do this. So it's happening.
This is me just guessing, but I would guess that makes more of an impact potentially than the players doing it, right? The players get it started, but they need help in this, right? Presidents are more likely to listen to actual decision makers than the players who ultimately don't really make a decision.
I would agree.
They follow the guidance.
Yeah, I would agree. Because I think it's one thing for administrators to look at a bunch of college athletes that...
I'm not saying they're not connected. They are, for sure.
Right. And say that, you know, the college athletes may not see the big picture of, you know, they just want to play. They're thinking about the short term. But when you have politicians, when you have people in that kind of power who think about long-term ramifications for everything that they do all the time on a regular basis, because it's pretty much a big part of what makes up their career, I think that's really starts getting the attention of conference commissioners, university presidents, athletic directors. If a college football season is to happen, politicians stepping up and saying, hey, this is worth the risk, that's going to catch their attention. That is something that is going to act as an accelerant to what the players and coaches are trying to accomplish right now.
What do you think? 656-9900, if you would like to share your thoughts on players, coaches, politicians, pretty much everybody, it seems, so trying to save the season. I'm not seeing too many people advocating for shutting down the season, at least publicly. Privately, obviously, there is that conversation. What do you think of it? 656-9900. You can hit us up on social media at Sports180 as well. West Virginia head coach Neil Brown said, quote, "I'm in the group that thinks we need football. I think it's positive. I think we can do it in a safe environment. We do respect the virus, but I think we can make it work." The phrase respect the virus is kind of funny, but you're going to see other coaches go on the record and say, yeah, we need to play. Again, I'll ask, what impact will that make? I mean, Ed Orgeron was doing that a couple of weeks ago. He was expressing confidence that they will play, saying that they need it, America needs it. We'll see if that has some kind of impact. It does appear that the SEC would be more on board with that thought right now than the Big Ten, at least based on reports.
And
the Big Ten presidents, Big Ten decision makers.
Yeah, and both of us have advocated that we want college football to happen, and we think that the Power Five conferences should try to have a season in the fall. I don't want it to come across as if we are disregarding the severity of the virus. I mean, people have died. It's been unfortunate. There is nothing good that has come from COVID-19. And so, but I do think there are parameters that these leagues can put into place where you are respecting the virus, where you are taking it seriously, where you understand that there are potential harms and that there is a risk involved, and still find a way to progress and have a season despite all of this. And so I don't want it to come across as if we're just kind of throwing the virus out the window and thinking that it isn't something that needs to be concerned about with younger people, because that's not the truth. That's not the case. And so hopefully that we can find a way around that.
Yeah, am I wrong to kind of laugh at quote, "we respect the virus"?
Yeah, I mean,
it's almost like it's being treated like an opponent. Yeah, well, you know, we respect Troy. They're on scholarship too. We respect the virus.
Yeah, it's
who well, actually, some people do disrespect the virus, but by and large, I think people quote respect the virus.
Yeah,
I respect all viruses.
It doesn't need to be spoken. You're right, but it's, you know, I think just the understanding of, in schools, there are parameters that should be in place that, hey, let's socially distance and let's make sure we're sanitizing. It doesn't need to be said, hey, respect the virus. Like, when you say it like that, that's the sort of thing that's going to make college kids kind of scoff at it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start working that into my vocabulary, though. Look, I respect asparagus, but I don't think tonight I want asparagus to be a part of my meal.
Do you respect?
Mayo is what I don't respect. I will go out and just WWE style disrespect Mayo.
You need to start respecting your opponents and producers right before the face-off.
That's something that's going to be hard to do. We will continue. 656-9900 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We'll update you on everything else going on in the sports world, but of course the big topic, at least, you know, for us today, Knoxville, Tennessee, college football being the number one priority for the fall. Will they play? We know they want to play. They want to coach. We'll continue the conversation. 656-9900 if you would like to join us with Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. This is FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Come. Josh and Heather have a lot to say.
Whoa, big golf, son. All right. Well, see you later.
Let's get to it on Sports 180.
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Remember, you can keep up online, 991thesportsanimal.com. You can also go back and listen on the WNML app and on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, download to any of our shows, Sports 180 and everyone else right here on the station. Behind the Arc podcast, you can check out college basketball coverage from Joel Silverberg, who is on Sports 180 this afternoon, tomorrow as well, as Heather is out. We'll have the top winners and losers out of the weekend coming up at the end of the hour, and continue to invite your phone call, 656-9900, as we anticipate a decision from the Big Ten. Officially, there have been reports that the Big Ten has decided not to play football this fall. Players and coaches and administrators, I would say, from the Big Ten are trying to keep that from happening, trying to reverse course, if you will. What do you think about it? 656-9900 is how you can join us. Mike, you're on Sports 180. Thanks for calling in, Mike. Thoughts on the conversation today?
Well, I've got a theoretical question, I guess. Assuming that all the Power Five conferences, except for the ACC and the SEC, assuming that they all the others canceled, decided not to play, is the probability that the ACC and the SEC could go ahead and play, and, you know, what problems would they have being the only one, you know, the only show in town.
Well, one, yes, they could. They could go ahead and play. The problems I guess they would face is, one, I'm sure they would take some kind of PR hit. I say that while also recognizing they would get support. There would be some people saying, just like you're seeing today, let them play. I support them playing. So they'll get a mix of praise and criticism, I would think, Joel. And then their potential problem, of course, would be the risk that they're taking on. You eliminate risk, at least libel risk, I guess, if they don't play. If you play, then there's the risk of positive cases and players getting sick and that being some kind of concern. So that's what they're all trying to factor in right now and consider when they make the ultimate decision. But could they go on and play? Yes, right now the indication is the SEC and ACC will at least continue to try to push forward with the attempt to play no matter what the Big Ten decides to do later today.
And you'd have 29 teams if it was just those two conferences with Notre Dame joining the ACC. So I think that there's you get kind of this big picture where you get a lot of big-time programs. You don't have as far spread of a geographic footprint if the Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12 are all opting to sit out this year. But you're not going to have a decision that pleases everybody. There have been valid points made for both sides of the argument of, well, what happens if the athletes don't get to play? What happens to eligibility and all of those things? And then if you do play, the risk factors being taken into account. So it's all kind of being tossed up into the air right now as every Power Five conference is having its presidents meet over the next 2 days.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate the question. 656-9900, if you would like to join the conversation as well on what they might try to do this fall. Will they try to play this fall? Should they? We'll welcome those opinions as well, whether they should or should not, depending on what you think. Let's get Bill next on Sports 180. Hey, Bill, good afternoon. What do you think?
Hey, I got a question first. If they cancel football, are they canceling school and the athletes would not be able to play?
Well, not right now. That's one thing that has confused me a little bit. I'm not arguing against the points that are being made, like what Trevor Lawrence posted on Twitter. I think he is potentially right there, and you're seeing some players say, hey, don't send me back home. Do we know that that's the case? If they cancel football, they're not necessarily having to go back home. Other students are on campus, so that's to be determined, just like it is for any of the other students, Bill. But you know, right now, that's kind of an assumption that's being made. Hey, we're safer on campus than at home. You know, they could still be on campus if other students are. They don't have to go home if their schools are allowing students on campus. Right, Joel? Am I wrong there?
No, I have not seen anything that is indicating that university presidents, when they're making these decisions, I haven't seen anything about them talking about shutting down their campuses. My understanding has been that that decision has not been made yet. And I believe it was Nicole Auerbach who had said she hadn't heard anything about students being forced to be sent home. Like, schools aren't. The discussion right now is strictly about college football. It's not necessarily, not that we've heard anyway, about schools right. shutting down as a whole. Now, it does bring up the question, okay, well, if football players are going to be safe on campus with thousands of other students, why can't they go play a football
sure.
game? That's a conversation that will obviously at some point come up. But I think it's a valid point by Lawrence. You're right. But it's also that hasn't been the indication that students are going to be required to leave campus.
Yeah, I've seen that from a number of players. Don't cancel football because I don't want to go home. And, I mean, again, ultimately they could. You saw in the spring, students ended up having to leave, or at least were strongly encouraged to. But that's right now I'm not aware of that being a part of the conversation. Maybe it would be on some individual campuses. But if campuses are sending all their students home, that's actually what would make it more difficult, I think, for the sports to be played. Bill, you were going to add there. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's absolutely... I just think it's unbelievable that the presidents would consider shutting down if they're not shutting down the school. First of all, if you're going to have school and you're going to expect these athletes to have their scholarships and be in school and not allow them to play, I don't know how they do that. Secondly, it's absolutely safer for them to be in school. We already had a track record of that. How many people came back from spring and how many people tested positive for COVID-19 immediately when they came back to the universities? If we think college kids at home in their communities are going to make sure that they don't get out versus being on campus where they certainly will be looked and I guess looked at and monitored by the coaching staff, by other players and everything, there is no argument there in my mind.
Yeah, see, Bill, I... I disagree. I don't actually think they're safer in one place or the other, by and large. I mean, some individuals might be, depending on if they were to go home or not. But I mean, we saw players show up on campus, test negative, and then within a couple of weeks, test positive based on decisions that were made. So they are safer if they make good decisions. That, of course, is an assumption. And also, we saw, like, at Kansas State, they had an issue. At Rutgers, they had an issue. At Michigan State, not a major issue, I don't think, at Michigan State, but they had some players. Louisville. Tennessee had none at the beginning, and then it had some positives at a later test. Louisville, you're right. Louisville actually booted some non-football players, other sports athletes, because they went to a party. It spread, and they had some positive tests. And by the way, that's before students get on campus. So I'm not arguing one way or the other. I think them being safer really is ultimately up to whatever decisions they make, whether they're on campus or away from campus. They obviously get tested, so that's something that's good. But are they safer? It depends on what decisions they make, whether they're on campus or at home.
And the athletes at Louisville, one of them had come out and said, "Hey, we didn't actually host a party. We were hanging out with the people that live in our building, and more people just kind of showed up, and we tried to control the situation, and it got out of hand." Whether that's the truth or not remains to be seen, but if that is the truth, well, then you're talking about situations that get out of hand.
I think in the Louisville situation, I think it'll be very interesting when students are back living in apartments, and if they're when they have parties or something happens, if they get expelled from school in the same regard. Because I don't know why a football player would be any different than somebody in school as far as meeting federal guidelines, is what Louisville said. There are federal guidelines out there, and there are state guidelines that says you're to follow these certain rules. So I think all of this, when you start separating football from just going to school, becomes very unfair to the athletes. So the reality is people are going to get COVID-19. I hate that. I'm sure everybody hates that. But you're not going to stop COVID-19 by shutting down school and shutting down football. It's just not going to happen. So I appreciate the time. I think it's a great conversation. I think I just don't understand the president's thinking of just taking this away. And that would lead me to believe they're going to shut down school. I don't know why you would even have school open if you have already decided we can't play football. I don't know why it's that big a difference. So thank you for your time, guys. Have a great show.
Bill, thank you. Have a good rest of your afternoon. We appreciate the conversation. I don't know what's going to happen, Joel. If Bill's prediction is right in the end that they're going to end up shutting down on campus and they send students home again, who's going to be surprised?
At this point, nobody. Nobody knows what's going
to happen. Disappointed, sure, but surprised, no.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think every option has been discussed. Every option seems like it's feasible. It seems like it's likely to happen. I don't know which situation it has a higher chance of being decided upon than another. You know, whether it's football in the spring, football in the fall, no football at all, it is all very doable. You know, do they shut down campuses? Do they keep athletes on campus? Do they decide to send everybody home? It's all of that is up in the air. All of that is being discussed. All of that is a possibility.
Well, I think there's also something to think about because the two tie together. Think about public schools, Knox County, for example, with parents trying to decide, do I send my kids back to school? Do we opt for virtual learning? I think there are some parents who have decided, let's go virtual learning, not because they don't want to send their kids back to school, because they're anticipating sending their kids back to school and then things shutting down again, or maybe their kids get COVID-19 and they have to then quarantine and parents have to decide, okay, well, now I got to figure out vacation. So just going ahead and doing virtual with the anticipation that it's not going to work out with in-class learning, that ultimately they're going to be sent back home anyway, so you're just trying to get ahead of it. And I think there are parents out there that have had to make that decision, and if that happens, then it's going to affect college. You're going to see, it's not going to affect, you're going to see similar decisions, similar results in colleges as well.
And just the preparation for childcare and all that too, just adds more complications to all that for families. And so for colleges, what do you do? Because you get, even at big universities, you still have a lot of local students that some of them still live at home or they live off campus. And you're talking about travel. You're talking about students that have jobs off campus that, they work part time, they go to school full time, and just a number of obstacles that you're going to have to try to overcome when you're talking about thousands and thousands of students on each college campus at all these big state schools across the Southeast.
We have a statement from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. We will read it to you when we come back here on Sports 180 as we continue to see what will happen in college football. What Greg Sankey had to say coming up next. We have a Midday Sports Minute for you as well. Joel Silverberg is here. I'm Josh Ward. This is FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
I'm VFL Charles Davis, and it's
47 days until it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com. Go on!
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We knew that there would be some updates as the show has gone along. That'll be the case with Sports Talk as well. So keep it right here this afternoon as we continue to monitor what might happen in the Big Ten, what's going on around college football as they try to make decisions or at least update thoughts for this upcoming fall. The SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey 12 minutes ago posted this on Twitter. Best advice I've received since COVID-19. Be patient. Take time when making decisions. This is all new, and you'll gain better information each day. The SEC has been deliberate at each step since March. Slowed return to practice, delayed first game to respect start of fall semester, developed testing protocols. We know concerns remain. We have never had a football season in a COVID-19 environment. Can we play? I don't know. We haven't stopped trying. We support, educate, and care for student-athletes every day, and will continue to do so every day. My initial response there, Joel, would be that Greg Sankey is speaking on behalf of the SEC, and he is nowhere close to saying we're not playing this fall. He's also not saying for sure that they will play. But if the Big Ten really is deciding today, really one way or the other, but if they're deciding today that they're shutting down, that's not going to force the SEC into any kind of decision. Am I reading too much into what he posted there?
No, I think that's about right. I think, and Sankey, you know, he was obviously very disappointed in the NCAA when all the spring sports were canceled, and he made that very clear. So he has always been in favor of trying to do everything possible to make sure that college sports happen as soon as they can happen, as best as they can happen, as much as they can happen. So, yeah, this doesn't surprise me. I think Sankey is going to continue to try to be a voice for the athletes that want to keep playing, the coaches that want to keep playing. So I think he's going to do everything he can to make sure that college football happens this fall, at the very least for the SEC.
I think right now, I think he just started. Scott Frost is speaking. He's the head coach at Nebraska. And one prediction was expect some fireworks because Scott Frost really wants to play, and Nebraska wants to play. Scott Frost, as I read from Mitch Sherman, said, quote, "The head coach's responsibility is to fight for what we want. Our players want to play. Our coaches want to coach." So the head coach at Nebraska is following suit with what we saw from Michigan's head coach, Jim Harbaugh, earlier today, advocating for them to play this fall. Nebraska wants to play this fall. At least, again, these are coaches and players. By and large, all players want to play. Maybe you're going to see some more opt-outs. I'm sure that would happen. But generally speaking, the players want to go out there and play, and I'm sure the coaches want to go out there and coach as well. Frost said on the idea of canceling, quote, "If that's the decision that's made, we'll certainly abide by it." But he's making clear that Nebraska's stance is we want to play this fall.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging, look, if the people that are in charge over our league make this decision, we're not going to form some kind of rebellion and just go out and play anyway. But I think the coaches are doing everything they can to make it clear that they are willing to take the risk. The players are willing to take the risk. They're willing to figure out the protocols and the safety regulations that can keep the players healthy, can keep them safe, and find a way to finish out the season. Because if Frost is, you know, I mean, what else is he going to say at this point? I think everybody has made it clear, and there are going to be players that opt out. There might be some assistant coaches that decide they want to stay with their families, and it might be okay for them to do that. But right now, the overwhelming support from the players, I think, is being echoed by coaches and other administrators right now. We mentioned earlier in the hour that, you know, politicians getting in on it. You are seeing a stronger voice, I think, even in just the last 2.5 hours to maybe influence the Power Five presidents and chancellors and commissioners that a season can potentially happen this year.
Here's a new one that you want to talk about, sports in the year of COVID. So the bubble has been a big success with all the different sports, right? You're not getting positive tests. When they started things up, I'm talking about all the different sports. You had positives, they all went down. Today, the Phoenix Suns are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Suns are trying to play their way into the postseason, and things have gone well. The Suns keep winning. So they're tipping off right about now. DeAndre Ayton is not in the starting lineup, which is surprising because he's really good, and they need him. Well, the reason he's not in the starting lineup is he missed his coronavirus test yesterday. So he was not initially cleared. He was able to get cleared today. So he is on his way to join the team to play in the game. One, that says they're taking it very seriously, which is good. Two, come on, you gotta make sure you're getting yourself tested. But I would say kudos to the league that they're making sure that, hey, every player, you follow the protocol, you get tested, you make sure it happens, or you're not playing. But anyway, that's a new one. So he's not in the starting lineup because he had not been cleared yet. He got cleared, so he's on his way to join the team, but he's not in the starting lineup.
That happened to Kristaps Porzingis just a couple weeks ago with Dallas. Rick Carlisle, when he was asked about it, said he just forgot to take the test. That was it. There's no other explanation. Like, he's going to test today and he's going to join us tomorrow, but he has to quarantine in his room, so that's why he's not at practice today. This is before the games had started out. And I think he missed a team scrimmage as a result of that. But yeah, I just kind of said he forgot to take the test. Like, how do you say that with a straight face if you're Rick Carlisle? So yeah, it has happened. Now, for it to happen at this point in the process, you would think that they'd be able to avoid that from happening, but that it would be somewhat of a routine by now. But yeah, that's apparently happened a couple of times down in Orlando where players have just forgotten to take the test, or in Lou Williams' case, have taken a wrong turn and ended up in Atlanta.
Yeah, that can happen as well. Sometimes you'll see a player run out and he's actually forgotten to put his jersey on because he's got his warm-up on, and he realizes, I actually left the locker room without the jersey on. Stuff like that happens, or something's missing. But forgetting the coronavirus test, that's a really critical part right now.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially since it's the one topic that everybody seems to be talking about every day, all the time, always.
It is top of mind for most. We'll come back. Final segment, the Power Poll, the top winners and losers out of the weekend. We've been college football focused today, but sports are going on. So we'll find the winners and losers out of the weekend. We'll continue to update you on college football plans for the fall. The Power Poll's next. Sports Talk will take over at 3 on FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Of course. Sports all the time. It's not a lifestyle we chose. We were born this way. 99.1, the sports animal.
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Ross Dellinger reported earlier today with Sports Illustrated that the SEC presidents have scheduled an impromptu meeting with all that's going on in the Big Ten. We'll see what happens with the Big Ten later today. There'll be updates for you on Sports Talk. Scott Frost is talking to the media right now. He's the head coach at Nebraska, and he did make it clear they want to play a Big Ten schedule. The Big Ten is trying to decide what to do. Frost did say they would consider other options if there is no Big Ten schedule to play. And also said, quote, I think our university is committed to playing football any way that we possibly can, regardless of what anyone else does. If they can't play in the Big Ten, they're prepared to look at other options. And said, quote, I think the university presidents make that decision at the end of the day in conjunction with the commissioner. It's their decision. I know where our university president stands, and he wants to play football. So that's Scott Frost, the head coach at Nebraska.
Depending on what conferences decide to play this year, if the Big Ten opts out, I'd love to see Nebraska back in the Big 12. Let's see some of these old school classic Big 12 rivalries that we've seen over the years. Let's see, Nebraska and Texas. Let's see them go up against Oklahoma. Let's see some of these old matchups again.
I'd like to see it. First of all, I'd love to see them just play a Big Ten schedule because that means the Big Ten decides to play, and that's a good sign for everybody else. If the Big Ten's out there, then I'm guessing just about everybody else is. The SEC, I would imagine, is. But that's kind of the latest with that conference, and we'll see if any news comes out. The SEC president's meeting, but the tweet, the statement from Greg Sankey indicated that there won't be anything official. Patience was his his main message, and that would indicate they're going to wait to see exactly what they need to do. They have time to wait. September 26th is when the SEC season is set to begin. The Big Ten is set to begin the first weekend of September. Of course, they have the option to push that back if they choose to do so as well. One other quote from Scott Frost. Again, he's meeting with the media right now. Quote, our players' biggest concern is what happens to their eligibility. He adds that guys that don't want to wait a year of eligibility if they play a broken season of just three or four games. And that I would understand as well. Eligibility is a concern because if this year ends up being lost, I don't know that players, Joel, are going to get it back. And in terms of seniors, I don't know that they're going to get another year. Underclassmen, you know, they would at least have time remaining. But seniors, if they lose this year, that unfortunately could just be it for them. That's something that you fear.
Yeah, it's the harsh reality of it. But I think when you're talking about football and the scholarship numbers and the sensitivity around all that, that would be the likely scenario if a season wasn't played this season. And if you have a bunch of seniors, that might just be it. And granted, a lot of these guys aren't going to the NFL, so it obviously sucks that they're losing the last chance they're going to have to play football. Hate that. I think college athletics is something that should be enjoyed by the student athletes that get to participate in it, but the silver lining is that it's not taking them away from the rest of their life. It's not taking them away from the degree and for whatever comes next. It is still unfortunate. I hate that. I guess just trying to put a little bit of positivity into the situation if it were to unfortunately come down to that.
Yeah, Frost also did say that his players need to do a better job of taking it seriously. Use the word respect again. So that's my favorite phrasing of the day, respecting the virus. And Nebraska's governor has come out on record and said that he thinks they should play this year. Said, quote, I believe it is absolutely something we can do here in Nebraska. So Nebraska is trying to make a Big Ten season happen. We'll see what the other schools think as the day goes along, as we head into tomorrow with reports earlier today that the Big Ten will be announcing tomorrow that it's not playing this fall. Let's close out today with the power poll.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All righty, Sam and Joel, we come out of the weekend where sports were going on, just not at the college level. So on a Monday, we look back at the weekend with our top five winners and top three losers. Sam, would you like to lead us off with your list?
Yeah, so we're again, winners first here, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Number five winner for me is Kyle Busch. While he didn't win either race at Michigan this weekend, it's been a horrible year for him. He had a back-to-back top fives, finished fifth on Saturday, fourth on Sunday. That could potentially be the momentum switch he needs to turn his season around in the remaining races for NASCAR. Coming at number four, the NHL. The first portion of the playoffs with the round-robin tournament and the play-in series worked really well. Still no positive tests taking up the headlines. NHL at number four. Number three, I hate to say it as a Phillies fan. Josh, you'll love this. Ronald Acuna Jr., three home runs during the two doubleheaders yesterday against my Phillies.
How about him?
Got to recognize the caliber of athlete he is and just how good Ronald Acuna Jr. is. Respect the game. The NBA play-in, it's actually going to happen. May not be the Pelicans like a lot of speculation was the NBA wanted in the West. But the NBA play-in, we're actually going to see it happen, so that makes the NBA a winner at number two. And number one, he went back-to-back at Michigan, Kevin Harvick. He's now got five wins on the year in the Cup Series. And then losers, number three, St. Louis Cardinals. Two, the Preds. And number one, anyone who loves Mac football. And that includes those of us who watch Maction during the week.
Joel Silverberg, your top five winners and top three losers from the weekend.
In number five, the NHL as a whole, based on the recent test results, but primarily the Columbus Blue Jackets. We had one game five out of the qualifying round series. Columbus gave up a three-goal lead in the third period in game four, ended up losing that game in overtime, managed to find a way to come back and shut out the Toronto Maple Leafs to advance the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Number four, Ronald Acuna Jr., three home runs through two games yesterday against the Phillies, had not homered. I think 9, 10 days, something like that, since August 1st. I think that's what Chip Carey said over the weekend. But yeah, Ronald Acuna Jr. with a big, big weekend, especially on Sunday. Number three, the Oakland A's. First of all, you swept the Astros, so you're everybody's favorite team right now, but you've won 9 straight, and that is nothing to scoff about, especially in a 60-game regular season. Number two, Kevin Harvick, a sweep at Michigan International Speedway. Number one, Colin Morikawa, 23 years old, 4-time All-American at Cal, a fantastic field that looked like a loaded leaderboard towards the top going into the final round and going down the home stretch. It was awesome golf to watch. Morikawa with a great shot on 14 with the chip in. Fantastic tee shot on 16 to set up the eagle putt that ultimately sealed it for him. Was just so awesome. It was a great, great final round at the PGA Championship from San Francisco. Number three, Louisville basketball. The Cardinals lost their top prospect, Bryce Hopkins, after he decommitted on Sunday. Number two, the Predators. Score some goals. You're going up against the 11 seed in your conference. Not the league, your conference. Score some goals. Number one, the Pelicans. Because the NBA set up this entire thing to get Zion into the playoffs, and you couldn't pull it off. I realize that Zion didn't play a lot, but still. Just throwing some shade at a division rival there for Memphis.
Yeah, it has not worked out. Number five winner for me, I'm going to single him out because he actually didn't have a good day on Saturday, and man, did he bounce back. Yesterday, that's Damian Lillard. But also, Saturday, after struggling against the LA Clippers, the main players were not out there, especially at the end. Paul George, Patrick Beverley wasn't playing in the game. It was like the B and C squad that won. But you had Beverley and George making fun of Damian Lillard. So after the game, he was asked about it, and his response was, yeah, well, I sent Patrick Beverley home from the playoffs. Last year, I sent Paul George home from the playoffs. That emotion you see is just how much I hurt them. What a response. And then he came out yesterday and just had a monster game. So Damian Lillard, I think overall a winner this past weekend. I have the non-Grizzlies number four. So the Grizzlies allowing an opportunity for these other teams to try to make a run at being in the postseason, that being the Blazers. The Spurs got the win yesterday against the Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns as well. So the not-Grizzlies there in the back part of the Western Conference. I have the Athletics at number three with that win streak and the sweep of the Astros that Joel just talked about. I have Kevin Harvick at number two and Colin Morikawa. Life is good for him, and with his professional career, it's going to get better. He is 23 with a bright future ahead in golf. And yeah, for the sport, I think it's great. They have a bunch of talent, a bunch of young talent. Losers over the weekend, I guess I could just go Cardinals. So Joel said Louisville. I'll also go with St. Louis because they just continue to lose the opportunity to play with the Pirates series now postponed. Predators number two, and then college football fans number one. It was not a good weekend for college football fans who are typically at this point looking forward to a season starting up in 3 weeks. And right now, it's very much in danger. That is the Power Poll. Top five winners and top three losers coming out of the weekend. And coming up next on Sports Talk, they'll have the latest of what's going on in the college football world, the sports world, and keep it right here because as updates come in, well, they'll update you on Sports Talk. And we'll talk about the latest. Will the Big Ten still be active for this upcoming fall by the time we're on the air tomorrow at noon? We'll see, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the SEC trying to make it happen as well. And Nebraska's comments, the governor, the head coach there, that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. For Sam Foreman, Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. We appreciate you hanging out today. Sports Talk is coming up next right here on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.